I think I'm okay. Jesus, bless the message. As poor Jess is going, I'm supposed to pray for you, Melissa. I said, Jesus, bless us, because I don't believe that this message is me. I believe it's God. So take out of it the God part and leave the Melissa part behind, right? Because I don't want me to be stopping people from getting what God wants today. 20-something years ago, probably a lot longer than that, but it's been a while, Andrew and I got married, and it's good news. We did get married. We have the certificate to prove it. And in those days, there's a lot of restrictions about officers of the Salvation Army getting married. And one of those was that when you become an officer, when you get commissioned, that's like being ordained in the Salvation Army, you weren't allowed to get married for 3 months. Now, the commissioning happened in December. When we moved into our new job was January, so I either needed to tread water somewhere for 3 months and then get married, or, you know, God changed the rule, which is really good news for us. So we got married after 2 weeks of me being a lieutenant in those days. How exciting. Young and scared. We got married. And in those days also, they would send the new married couple to a new location to start over as a couple, because people would get used to Andrew just on his own. He was out of college for a year before me. And they didn't do that either. I got to join him at a church that was a fantastic church. We love it. We still love it. And it was a great experience for that to happen. But people would say, you can't do that. We go, oh, really? We did it. Okay. We were there for 11 years. We had 3 kids there. We loved it. And then we got asked to lead the school, the Service Discipleship School. Now, up until us, no one had young kids at the school. And so people said, you can't do that. You can't do that. And so we did. I feel a bit like Forrest Gump. So we did. And then in 2012, we agreed to lead Long Journey Salvos. By then, we had an extra child. We had 4 kids. And Rebecca was 4 months old. It's a long time ago now. And I'm not sure if anyone was around then remembers, we would pass the microphone for the baby. Do you remember that? We'd pass the baby over for the microphone. People would laugh because, you know, that's funny. Yeah, but that's the best we could do was, you know, this little, she was 4 months old, very little child and a microphone for us to try and do our job of leading church. Good times. Good times. And when we moved into our house here at Long Jetty, it's a great house, but it was only bought 6 months before we moved into it. Karen and Darren had purchased it, and it was a home that was used, I think, as a rental before the Salvation Army bought it. And when we started digging in the garden, we discovered that the wood chip that was really pretty on top had a layer of compost and dirt and, you know, leaf mess and whatever. But under that was a layer of gravel, like decorative rock. And it's a bit like a trifle, really. Like a, you know, wood chip, compost, rock, dirt, right? And you know, anyone would just go, just cover that up, pretend it's not there. But we wanted to plant things in the garden and make it nice. And every time we dug stuff up, we'd get dirt, like rocks everywhere. And we go, oh. So we spent many days sifting through all of the gardens to try and get all this decorative rock out. We had buckets and buckets of them. There's so many rocks. It took forever. But have you ever given thought to rocks in your life? Have you ever given any thought to stones in your life? Like, we get a little stone in our shoe sometime. That's something little that can be pretty annoying. We get a rock or a stone into our windscreen. That's not nice, is it? I'm not sure what words you say when you get a stone into your windscreen. But it's usually not, wow, that's so exciting. But for the most part, we drive on them, we walk on them, we sit on them, we put things on them, we make buildings, fences, whatever out of them. Stones are part of just, you know, they're everywhere. And in Joshua 3, we come to this point where the Israelites had been wandering around the desert for 40 years. They'd been out there for a very long time. And they get to the River Jordan. Now, what you may not know is that, you know how the Israelites crossed water and it all went back? They did that twice. Do you know that? Happened twice. The first time, they were escaping from the Egyptians. The army was after them because the Pharaoh wanted his slaves back in the country. So he was chasing them. And the Israelites stood at the banks of the Red Sea, and Moses touched the water with his staff and everything parted. They walked through. Then the Egyptian army came up after them. The waters went back in and they all drowned. Okay, that was the first time. And what happened was they got through. They got to the cusp of the promised land. It didn't take very long at all. Like we say that they were lost or whatever. They weren't lost. They got to the edge of the promised land and they were doubting what God was going to do. And God said, you're not entering in with doubts. I want people that trust me. So they just did laps in the desert for 40 years until all of that generation died out. All that was left was Joshua and Caleb, the only two that had the faith to go into the promised land. All those people that had crossed the Red Sea had died out. They get to the edge of the Jordan River and God's like, are you ready? They said yes. And this time they had to walk into the water and God parted the waters and they walked through. But it wasn't just something that happened. God did it for them. And what God said when they walked across the water, God said to Joshua, I want you to send 12 people back in from each of the tribes and pick up in the middle of this river that was dry. They walked through on dry land. It was a flooding river. It wasn't, you couldn't just make it up and say, oh, a log got stuck upstream and stopped the water. This was a river in flood. It was massive. It was impassable. You could not cross it. And millions of people crossed that water on dry ground because God caused the miracle to happen. He banked the water up, people walked through. And then God said, I want you to send some people back into the river where it was dry and pick up some rocks. They were a lot bigger than these. They put them on their backs, they lugged them, and they got to the place where they camped that night and they set up a memorial, an altar there in a pile to remind them of where God came through for them. Oh, I've got three in a pile. Good on me. There was 12. I'm not going to do 12. We'll be here all day. And that's what they did. And that's what the message is on today. Stones. Stones. What did you hear about church? I heard about stones today. Okay, that's what we're doing. Because stones remind God's people of his faithfulness. Stones can remind us of God's faithfulness in our life. Every time you see a stone, they're everywhere. God's faithfulness needs to be coming out in our memories. It's all about God. When we're in a situation that we can't manipulate, we can't fix it, we can't control it, we can't do anything about it, and God makes something happen, we know it's God. Right? I've been in those situations. God pulled something out of nowhere and I've gone, Bob, I couldn't do that. I can do a lot of things. I can usually make stuff happen. But there's some times that I just can't do anything. And I think more times I need to sit back and let God do those things because I think I would have more miracles in my life instead of me sitting here going, don't worry, God, I got it. I got it here, God. You don't need to do anything. Unless God does a miracle, we're shot. It's all over, Red Rover. All right. Okay, so on your sheets, on your seats, we've got some gaps. See if we can find it. There's only two today. I've been kind to you. Only two today. Stones remind people of his faithfulness. And number one, stones can point us to our purpose. How? The stones in the Jordan River were a reminder that all the people of earth may know the Lord's hand is mighty. And we need to remember how powerful God has been in our life. And we need to share it. Because we're on a mission. We're not here to be comfortable. It is great here. We love being here. We love having fellowship and friendship and relationship with each other. But it's not just about this. It's about saying to others, hey, I want to bring my community home. I want to bring my community home to the place where they can experience it too. Home to Jesus. Home to Jesus. Now, David's purpose was emerging when he was a boy. Now, we're all for the story about David killing Goliath. He picked up, you know, five little stones. They're probably even smaller than these. And he got two in the air towards a giant. He could not fight the giant, but God could. And with the two little stones, straight across, killed a giant. People said to David before he even picked up the stones, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then he did. And do you know, Years before that, he was a shepherd boy in a field, and he would chase off bears and lions with what? The stones. God started his purpose when he was young to kill things, enemies, with the rocks. And then he puts a giant in front of him. What's the difference? They all thud. And then he went to lead a band of mighty men. Moses, here's a foreshadowing thing. Moses is called Moses because Moses means I drew him out of the water. Guess what Moses did when he was older? Walked a whole nation through the middle of a sea, drew him out of the water, rescued them. Amazing. Amazing. And then you got Joseph. He was a child. He had dreams. All these dreams he was stupid enough to tell his siblings, and they hated him for it because he would tell all these dreams about how, you know, things would be bowing down to him and whatever else. And you know, they got rid of him. They sold him off, and he ended up in a jail. And what did Joseph do when he was older? He was able to interpret dreams. The very thing when he was younger turned into the very thing that God raised him up for when he was older. What has God placed in your life that has been your passion, that has been your calling, that has been who you are from when you're a child? God is saying, I didn't put that there just for something fun to do. I put it there because I have a purpose for you. Now, you might have gone in all kinds of weird directions away from that, but God's saying my callings don't change. He still has a calling for each of us. I don't care whether you're 70 or 17. He has a calling for you. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny for you. And whatever you do, you can't wreck that up. God's got it. God has got it. I mean, if you read stories of people in the Bible, they do all kinds of stupid things. God still uses them. What makes you think God can't use you? He's got it. What a great purpose. Don't listen to limiters. Listen to the purpose giver. And we need to remember that God will equip us. I often don't feel I have what it takes to do what I need to do. And that's probably going to be how you feel too. And that's okay. Because it's not about me. It's about what God does and his strength. His power, his ability, he can do it, he's faithful. Okay, number two, stones can remind us of the cornerstone. Now, if I decided to have a new house built, that would be lovely. And I engaged a builder, and after a while the builder goes, you know what, I had some good ideas. So I've just left the plans over there, and I'm just going in this direction. I'm going to add a few things in, going to move a few walls, whatever. I'd be pretty upset, right? Because you want something that's going to be aligned and straight and planned out carefully. You never know what you're going to get. We want a good foundation. And in the Bible, in 1 Peter 2:6, it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. And this was actually foretold in the Old Testament. It talks of Jesus being the cornerstone to come to fulfill for the Israelites. They chose not to see him. And so he's building a church on the living stones, and that's us. We're the living stones put together as a strong building for Jesus. What a great picture for us. Jesus is the final piece in the march towards the promised kingdom. So I need to align my life like a cornerstone. I need to align who I am straight with Jesus. I can't just get a little bit of Jesus and kind of kick out that way a little bit. It's going to wreck the wall. I need to be aligned. Aligned in there so everything else builds the way it should. When I was in the Philippines, I got a picture there. On our day off, we went to a beach. It's not for a while, Nate, so just chill. I told him to come up when I talked about the Philippines, but this is going to be a lot longer than I thought. do you have a picture, Justin? So have a look at this picture. We'll look at this for a while. So there's some diving boards. This is cliff diving in the Philippines, right? Now, that the one close to the bottom is like 1 meter high. The next one's 2 meters and 3 meters. And then on the other little bit jutting out, can you see the other board sticking out? That's about 5.5 meters. And then there's one around the corner sticking out towards the right. I don't know if you can see it, but right up there, there's a 7.6 meter board. And so, you know, we're with the group and some people were jumping, some of us are just swimming, just having a great time. It was lovely. It's a really lovely thing. Now, I jumped off the bottom, one of the, I think the third lowest one. That was pretty, 3 meters. That's all right. Jumped in and that was pretty fun. And so I was in the water and I'm like to my friend Beck, do you want to go higher? She goes, all right. So she jumped off the 5 meter one. She goes, oh, I touched the bottom. I went, oh, don't want to do that. So I forgot some bits of information that you need. Thanks, Justin. We'll just go back in a sec. I forgot some bits of information that you need to know when you jump from great heights into water. The first one is water is really hard when you jump at it from a great height. It's a bit like being hit by a truck. Really. And you need to enter the water feet first. You get it. Some of you are getting there already, right? And any forward momentum, the higher up you are, the more exaggerated the forward momentum happens to go, right? Very important information. So I wish I had a story of triumph. Let's go to the second picture, Justin, just to show you how high this is, because you've got to see this. I'm shaking now just talking about it. Right, that's it. And there's one more picture after that. This is all the different angles from this jump. The next one is a girl jumping off it. It's not me because I didn't look that good. Can you see the little legs there at the top? Right. It's now, Adam measured for me. 7.6 metres is from the floor to a metre above the top of our ceiling. So that's 7.6. So you've got the picture now, right? 7.6 metres is above our roof. Okay. I'll keep reading my story. I could really wish I could share my story of how I conquered my fear of heights, because I try to do that often. I try to do something to scare myself just so I can, you know, conquer stuff. So the whole way up, I was shaking. It was so scary. And I really wanted to get some street cred from nailing cliff diving. And I didn't want to touch the bottom, so I thought I'll just go straight to the top. So in my attempt to do it before people saw me, I told a few friends to watch me, and if I die, come and rescue me. Right. The rest of them, I hope they weren't noticing. So got up there, and in that attempt to not be noticed, I kind of walked quickly. And Talia said I ran. I don't think I ran. But I went quickly across the plank. But because I was going so fast, that way I forgot you needed vertical motion, not horizontal momentum. And it was about 2 meters from hitting the water that I realized this wasn't going to be really fun at all. I swan death dived. My face hit the water from my jaw. I was bruised down my neck and my shoulders. Mate, it hurt so bad. I thought I was needing to get an ambulance out of there. I did walk out. It was okay. No one had to pull me out of the water and I wasn't bleeding, even though people thought otherwise it was. But I regretted the whole idea moments before I hit it, because I didn't take the time to ask the people what I needed to do it. Because I didn't stop. I know that when you jump, you go forward. I know that, if you've got forward momentum, I know that when you hit the water from a great height, it hurts. It's like hitting cement. And I went and thought I could do it myself, my own way. And it didn't work. I crashed and burned. What we need to be aware of: when we choose to live apart from what Jesus is calling us to do, we keep getting further and further away from his truth until in the end we swan death dive because we miss the important stuff. We completely miss it. 1 Peter 2:8 says, a stone causes people to stumble and a rock makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message. Being a follower of Jesus is awesome, but it needs to be on his terms. It can't be on my terms. It can't be, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but I still want all these things in my life. It has to be all or nothing. We have to listen. We have to seek out the right way to do it. And I tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I know who does have. I've got a book that guides me, a living word that guides me. Jesus is the cornerstone. And you know, I don't normally spectacularly death swan dive, but I've seen a lot of people spectacularly dive their Christian walk because they've chosen not to follow the directions. And it's really painful to watch. And I bet it's even more painful to live. I don't want to railroad my own life because I won't align myself with the cornerstone. So what kind of stones are we going to be? Are we going to live the you can't do that thing? And tell people they can't. Maybe you're in need of a miracle today and you just need to be reminded of what God has done in the past. I invite you to come and grab a stone. And as you hold on to it, remember all the times God has come through for you up to this point. These are memorial stones. God has come through for me because he's rescued me. He's brought me out. He's put someone in my life. He's stopped me from doing. God has healed me. You might want to just stand there, and as you remember all these things, God will bring them to your mind. You can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given me something to remember. Now, you might only have one or two. I guarantee you, God will keep adding to that number. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to give us breakthroughs. Maybe you're asking him to do it again. I've seen you do it before, God. Please do it again. Please do it again. I need a miracle right now and I can't do anything about it, but I know you can. So God, today I'm going to hold this stone to say, I trust that you are going to do a miracle in my life. Maybe you need to surrender to Jesus and make him the cornerstone of your life. No more running. No more pretending. No more telling him, I'll only do it if I can. Because we do that. We need to make him the cornerstone. I want to give my life to you today, Jesus. Maybe you need a heart of stone, revived by the Holy Spirit. Do you need to see a purpose or change your habits of thinking? Maybe you need to take a stone to the cross and say, Jesus, I leave it with you. Replace what I've got with your thoughts. Maybe you've got a calling on your life, and all you've heard up to this point is you can't do that. Take God's promise today. What are these stones saying to you today? These are here for you. Use them how you want. You can go and pray. You can ask Jesus in. You can ask someone to pray for you. You're welcome to do all of that as we sing. You can stand and sing and worship. Just be so grateful for what God has done, what he's going to do. You might be here today with pain. Jesus wants to heal and comfort and be close to the brokenhearted. He'll do that and he'll keep doing that. Do it. So Jesus, we just want to give you all authority here. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in this place. Lord, I pray you will show us now all of the times you've protected us, rescued us, given us breakthroughs and miracles. And Jesus, now I pray as we take the next step forward in our journey with you, you'll show us what you want us to do next. I pray in your name. Amen. Please respond today. Please come and seek him today.